Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter at Class Tech Tips, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus to request your bonus items. This episode is sponsored by Hello Plato. Hello Plato is an AI-powered teaching platform that delivers teachers' lessons and quizzes to students via messaging like WhatsApp and SMS. Students love that they can learn on their phones, guided by a friendly and safe AI bot that feels like a teacher's assistant. Teachers love that lesson creation is easy and quick, and administrators love that the solution can reach students with no Wi-Fi at home, increasing educational equity. Hello Plato's web-based creator tool comes in a free version for teachers and paid version for schools and districts. Teachers can sign up to use Hello Plato for free at helloplato.com/pilot. This week's podcast episode is all about movie making, and I'm so excited to have ISTE author Jessica Pack join me today. It was so much fun hearing her insight, suggestions, and advice for bringing movie making into the work you do in any subject area with students at any grade level. During our conversation, we talk about some favorite strategies, some different tools, and you hear us mention her new book, which comes out in October. I've added links to the book where you're listening to this episode so you can check it out and learn more about Jessica's work. Let's go ahead and dive in to today's conversation. Welcome, Jessica, to the podcast. I am so excited to have you on to talk about all things movie making in the classroom. And before we jump into the conversation and some questions, I'm looking forward to asking you, I'm hoping you can introduce yourself and share a little bit about your role in education and what your day-to-day looks like.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate being able to chat with you today. I'm a middle school teacher. I've been a classroom teacher for 17 years in Southern California in the desert where it's very, very hot. And I teach language arts and social studies most of the day to sixth graders. Nice. And then the last period of the day, I have the associated student body class, which I've sort of created into a hybrid video production class for both the school news and other special storytelling projects. And that is a mixed grade class with sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. So, you know, super full, but very fun day and lots of great opportunities to tell stories.
That is so wonderful. I imagine that you see just a lot of different types of creation happening, both within the content areas and then as part of your after school or say end of the day type of program. And I'm really excited to talk about this idea of movie making today because it's just something that I know I've found in a lot of my conversations with educators, they're looking for new ways for kids to share their learning, to tell stories. They want to have products that are authentic. Students are used to consuming a lot of video content. So from a basic level, what can movie making look like in a classroom?
I like to think of movie making as an opportunity for students to create artifacts of their learning. So it's never the starting place of an instructional arc. It's really kind of where that instructional arc ends up. So you're doing all the great activities that we're normally planning for kids. We're reading challenging text and we're examining multiple sources and having those collaborative conversations and all of those wonderful sort of experiential learning activities. But then we take that and we take that content and try to storify it so that it becomes something that students are incredibly invested in. They have a ton of ownership over it, and they're able to really express their understanding in a way that is relevant and authentic to who they are as people. Within the classroom setting, it can look so many different ways. And, you know, in talking with teachers over the years, I've done professional development in the area of movie making for over a decade at this point. And, you know, most teachers, when I first meet them and we start to work in this movie making sandbox, their first sort of reticence is like, isn't this just a fun activity that we can fit in whenever or after testing or, you know, insert all of those sort of hesitant type comments here. And inevitably they can really see that it works in any grade level, any subject area. And, you know, stories are really the universal language. So we're programmed to be involved in stories and in our personal lives. We're programmed to learn from stories. And there's just a huge potential there for the classroom.
I really appreciate that perspective and just acknowledging some of those hesitancies that come into the conversations that you might have with colleagues or folks that you're working with during a professional development setting. Because I think there is a little bit of a mindset shift too, right? To really embrace just the power of bringing the storytelling alongside an experience that might not necessarily feel like it's going to be hand in hand with movie making, but there's just so many ways for students to share and make connections to things that are going on inside the classroom and outside of the classroom. And so as you're kind of looking at some of these cross-curricular connections, do you have any stories of what movie making has looked like perhaps in your own environment in a language arts or social studies classroom, or maybe one that would be less expected, like in a math or science classroom?
Absolutely. Typically, I like to think of movie making as the capstone for learning, right? So it's that artifact of learning. So students move through the instructional sequence, and then as we're trying to figure out how do we storify this, that's where lesson frames come in for me. So I have different movie making lesson frames, some of which are shared in my book, and students are able to take that content and almost create a narrative around it to communicate the information that needs to be communicated, but within that story format that our brains are very drawn to. There's so much incredible stuff that happens in your brain when you're interacting in that storified place. And I think that maybe that's also where the hesitancy comes from, is that teachers, we don't necessarily understand the brain science associated with storytelling. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to overlook that as a really great avenue for expressing mastery. Within my classroom, we're storifying that content in social studies so that we're not just reciting a list of facts and putting some photos into something like We Video, and then we record our five facts and then we package it with some credits that are fun. We're actually taking on sort of like a character-driven standpoint. So what in this content can become the character who has the story arc that delivers the information we need delivered, but in a way that is memorable and creates sort of like a sticky learning that really kids remember so much longer after they click turn in and Google Classroom, because it's become personal to them in a way that other products or other assessments may not be.
Yeah. And I would imagine too, that as students are thinking about some of those pieces, those story arcs, the narrative elements, that they must come, you know, running back into you with examples of what they notice when they're watching a movie or they sat down to watch something on Netflix. Like, I would imagine those aha moments must happen way beyond that experience from the creator now, even to maybe a smarter consumer.
Yeah, it absolutely does, because there's that language of film, that lexicon that the kids, they acquire it alongside the content. So there's a whole skill set of storytelling itself, and then a skill set of movie making itself in terms of audiovisual literacy that is really great for kids to develop alongside the traditional content that is, you know, the standards-based content that we're trying to deliver. So if we can develop them in multiple aptitudes like that, it's such a transferable, wonderful thing that can carry through the rest of their academic lives, their careers. And where I live here in the Southern California desert, it's created opportunities for my mm-hmm. students to be able to then transition into their communities and do things like, you know, social media manager. And they know how to, you know, market small businesses now, or they get involved in their family business and they're able to establish an online presence. And I just have so many students who come back to visit me in our little sixth grade classroom. I've been in the same place for 17 years. It's been so wonderful. But they come back with all these great stories of agency. And that's really what we're trying to do as teachers, is to, you know, generate those students who are empowered to live out the rest of their lives with all of these incredible skills that they can really take and own and use to benefit themselves and their community.
Yeah. I mean, I bet just with the storytelling piece, right? Storytelling happens in so many parts of our lives, from writing an email if you're a small business owner, to pitching something if you're looking for investment or funding or a loan. So I love those career connections that you've seen kind of happen with your group of students. And so you mentioned the lesson frames, right? The lesson frames also in your book. And I'm curious, this might kind of go alongside with this next question. What are some ways that teachers can set up students for success? I would imagine lesson frames are part of that. Are there other ways that you kind of help teachers think through the process?
So one of my lesson frames is the I Am Poem Project, and teachers are very familiar with I Am poems from the first couple weeks of the school year. I know so many colleagues who assign them as, you know, cute little writing exercises as a get to know you at the beginning of the school year. And that's perfect. But if we could take that and then use it as sort of a template for a script for a movie project, things get a little bit more interesting, because then students are giving you sort of a glimpse into their lives, a little window into who they are and what life is like for them, if you turn that into a movie project, right? Mm-hmm. So we have that first sort of exposure to telling a story about themselves. And the cognitive load on that is relatively manageable because they're already an expert on themselves. Yeah. So that's where, you know, it's super important to build movie making into the fabric of what you do in your classroom, because then that's when the skills really mature and develop for students. So my students create those, you know, I Am poems about themselves, but then the next iteration where we are creating I Am poems with the same lesson frame, that same script template, this time they're writing about hunter-gatherers. And they might be talking about the point of view of a hunter-gatherer, or maybe their character is the fire that hunter-gatherers gather around and talk about their day. Or maybe it's the point of view of a spear that they're using to hunt in the ancient Paleolithic times. So because they're familiar with the lesson frame, they're then able to take that and it becomes a framework for a story about the content that they're learning that I need to assess. So the more we use that lesson frame throughout the year, and we circle back to it several times, the more proficient they become at telling that type of story. So for me, storytelling is a lot about reps too with students. Mm-hmm. I love the Edu Protocols movement, because John Carippo always talks about that whole concept of, you know, repeating tasks and letting kids build fluency and proficiency in that line of thinking. And that's something that I really am drawn to, especially in the realm of movie making, because kids kind of, you know, get this creative confidence going. And then from there, if they've already made several I Am movie projects, and we have other lesson frames we use too, they eventually get to the space where they can create without any scaffolds. So they don't really need the lesson frames by the time we get to trimester three, because they have all these other ideas that are starting to grow and develop. So it's really, really fun to watch them.
I love that, giving the frame or guidelines, but then also having that space to kind of work without, you know, without necessarily those parameters as the year progresses. It's, you know, as we're recording this today on a Thursday, tomorrow I'm headed to a school where we're doing some about me style videos to just get portfolio exemplars ready to go for the school year with some of that same, you know, mentality that we'll revisit some of these same tools again. We'll build some of that proficiency with a talking about ourselves kind of project. And so, you know, it leads me into this next question. What are some of your favorite ed tech tools to use with student creators? What are the ones that are in your tool belt that you share with students throughout the year?
Well, I teach in a one-to-one Chromebook environment that's a 24/7 type of program. So kids have their Chromebooks all the time. And probably our biggest tool is WeVideo. So we're very fortunate in that digital storytelling, specifically movie making, is a focus in my district. So we have a district license for that software. And it's just been really incredible to watch our kiddos leverage all the advanced aspects of WeVideo, but also the collaborative aspects. So as a teacher, I can create groups inside of WeVideo. I can create common projects. There is some collaborative editing kids can do. So, you know, especially during last year's whole pandemic learning situation, creating the school news from, you know, 35 different homes would have been very challenging without the collaborative ability of WeVideo. So that's just really been sort of the gold standard for me in terms of a tool that I like to use.
Wonderful. And that kind of emphasis on the collaboration and the different types of learning environments that students might be sharing in is just important to consider, especially as we're kind of thinking through different types of models and different ways where kids might kind of jump in to a space to create something. And kind of along those lines of student products, so when they're making videos, are they sharing them in the same way all school year? Are there different ways that you're hosting celebrations or providing or connecting students with an audience?
Yeah, I think, you know, the authentic audience piece, the more global it can be, the better. So, you know, my classroom has kind of established a legacy effect over the years in that I'm at the place in my career where I've had some of the parents in my class as well. So they're like, hey, are you guys still making movies? And yes, we are. So we have a classroom YouTube channel. I have a classroom Instagram account where we post different items that students have created. And then, you know, they have their own social media outlets and they're very excited to be able to take something that they created, even though it's academic. Oh my gosh, mind blowing. And be able to share that on their personal media because it has that emotional resonance for them. So that's been really special. We do have different venues within our district to share out. We have district film festivals. It's again, a very much a district emphasis to be able to come together as a larger community and celebrate what kids have created. And so there's just a lot of different places that we celebrate those student voices. And that really gives a culture of voice and choice in our classrooms. And, you know, in my room in particular, kids often have consumed our YouTube channel before they even show up for the first day of school. So they're sitting there like walking in the door and they're like, hi, my name is blank. I am so excited. When do we make our first project? And it's like, I haven't even met them yet. So it's just been really, really fun to watch, you know, these sort of, it's not quite cross-generational, but I should say maybe cross-class appreciation for what the kids who were room 208 kids before them were able to create. And gee, what can I leave behind on the channel for the kids who come after me?
Gosh, what a fantastic legacy. And just having that kind of culture in your school that students kind of know what they'll be able to participate in. They have a taste of this before they even enter in the classroom. I mean, that's just so fantastic to hear about the value that is placed from a larger community on the work that is happening in your spaces. And so, you know, if there's someone listening in today who is not necessarily feeling that support or doesn't have that sort of community around them just yet, is there something that you would suggest to them if they are building their confidence or they're looking for a community to connect with, if they don't kind of have that support within their building that they're working in?
I would definitely say that if you can get even one person at your site or in your district or maybe through Twitter at another school site to kind of like dive in that deep end with you, it can be so empowering just to have another person to bounce ideas off of. So I guess first I would encourage people to get plugged into their social media and their PLNs because there's so many great innovative things happening in education and everybody has sort of like something they want to try every year, right? We all have these one goals. So if you can find someone to be your goal buddy, that would be amazing. But I think really it comes down to having the confidence to know that what you're doing for kids is valuable when you integrate movie making, just some of the things that happen in the brain are just insane. So, you know, stories activate the limbic system. And the limbic system is the part of our brain that controls all of our behavioral responses. And in the classroom setting, which is so dependent on behavior, right? Mm-hmm. That can be really, really powerful. And so that limbic system is activated by the emotional aspect of stories. So when we're telling stories and when we're listening to stories, our limbic system gets rolling, and that's when kids really affect change and they take action. It's completely appealing to them and compelling to them when they have character-driven stories. So all of that really results in this huge payoff in the classroom, that if you can just be brave enough to jump in and try something related to storytelling, I guarantee you that there will just be these incredible dividends that will pay off for that. And sometimes that's all it takes, right? Is just that 30 mm-hmm. seconds of courage to add that to your lesson plan for the week and give it a try. And it doesn't have to be big to start. It can be something tiny. One of my favorite lesson frames is the 15-second story. So it's not something that has to take weeks at a time, for sure. I think that's another misconception a lot of teachers and coaches have, is that, you know, if we're making a movie, it's going to take 3 weeks. And that's just not true.
Such a good reminder, especially for someone who might be looking for that right moment to jump in, or just that reassurance that it's going to work within what might feel like a lot of things that they're trying out, even just for the first time this school year. And so, Jessica, I want to make sure everyone knows about your new book. We mentioned the lesson frames and some of the other components. Can you share a little bit about it and where people can go to find it?
Absolutely. My book is available at the end of October through ISTE or Amazon. You'll be able to purchase there as well. It's called Movie Making in the Classroom, Lifting Student Voices Through Digital Storytelling. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of broken into three parts. The first part, I always like to start with the why. So I share a little bit about my journey as a storytelling teacher, and then also what storytelling has really done for my students. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing to understand, because there are so many compelling student stories that have come through my classroom, and these incredible things that kids are dealing with, especially as we're, you know, transitioning to post-pandemic education, keeping in mind the social emotional learning aspects that we should be building in for our kiddos. I mean, storytelling has just been huge. And storytelling has been a great way to build equity in my classroom too. Mm-hmm. So that first section really explores those ideas about the power storytelling can have, and then also why those stories are so powerful. I think it's important for all of us as educators to really dial into why we cling to the practices we do. And storytelling has been a pillar of my instruction for, you know, over a decade. So just, you know, going through the brain science of storytelling and why that is an impactful thing, and why their research really supports it. That's part one. Part two is really the nuts and bolts. Like, what does this look like when I'm sitting down to lesson plan from start to finish? How do we get there? What are all the different parts that need to happen for students to be successful at creating their compelling stories, as opposed to just, you know, multimedia reports? I hate to say it, but a lot of movie making out there is really just a report. So how do we transition those types of projects into the space where it really is an emotion-driven story? And then the third section has 5 lesson frames with resources teachers can download to hopefully just translate right into their classroom, grades 3-12. It's really important to me to be able to give lots of examples from a variety of grade levels and subject areas. So throughout my book, I actually interviewed different educators that I've worked with in a professional development capacity, or even here at my own school site, in my own district, on my different teams, just to really showcase what storytelling looks like in every educational context. So that's what I'm really excited about with the book, is just that it's not just my voice, but so many other voices too. And hopefully teachers will be able to read and find it inspiring and find it, you know, not as intimidating of a process as maybe they had thought it might be.
Well, that is just so perfect. Thank you so much for providing that context and letting us know what we can find in the book. For anyone listening into this episode, I'll make sure to put the link where you're listening in the description. You'll see the show notes link, so they'll be able to find it on ISTE and Amazon's website. And so, Jessica, where's the best place for people to connect with you on social media or our website? Where can people find you?
We can connect on Twitter or Instagram at packwoman208. And also jessicapack.com would be a good place to start.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It was so much fun chatting with Jessica today and hearing her experience and insight into all the things you can do with movie making in the classroom and just the big value adds or benefits it can have for students. So let's finish up today's episode like we always do with some tips for making this EdTech easy. First, use movie making as an artifact of student learning. Next, pair movie making with experiential learning in different subject areas. Then explore how movie creation can be part of a capstone of learning. And finally, use a lesson frame to set up students for success. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools mentioned today by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 131. If you're on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, in the description for today's episode, so somewhere underneath that play button, you should see a longer link that takes you directly to the show notes. I usually sneak in a couple other links there, so you should be able to find Jessica's social media handle. You should be able to find a link that goes out to the resources from today. So of course, if there's anything specific you're looking for, you can always send me a message on Instagram and I'll get you whatever you need. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Hello Plato. Hello Plato's AI delivers personalized insights to teachers regarding student progress, engagement, and sentiment. It's integrated with Google Classroom and soon Canvas as well. Students love that they can learn on their phones guided by a friendly and safe AI bot that feels like a teacher's assistant. Hello Plato's web-based creator tool comes in a free version for teachers and paid version for schools and districts. Teachers can sign up to use Hello Plato for free at helloplato.com/pilot. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with a podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech or teaching in their podcast app. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. At Class Tech Tips is where you'll find me, or go straight to classtechtips.com/book-bonus to request your bonus items. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.